Well, are you guys ready for the word? Who isn't ready for the word? We got communion elements up here that you can take before I preach. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. Father, we thank you for who you are. We all thank you for revealing you into our life. And Father, I thank you that our eyes were opened. And I thank you that everyone here is genuinely saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and going to heaven. And Father, I thank you for eternity with you. I'm excited about it. But I'm also excited about being here with you, walking in this fallen realm as a representative of you. What a greater destiny for anyone's life than to have to come into knowing you in this lifetime and then getting to know you in your heart. So this morning, dear Heavenly Father, as I share this word with your people, I pray that they grasp it. I pray that it'll bring encouragement. And more than anything, I pray that their future will change as a result of the word of God. I commit everybody now to focus on the word, and I commit myself to give it in the way that you've imparted it to me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about how to handle stress, anxiety, and the cares of this world. Have any of you ever had any problem in this area? Has everybody had problem in this area? Well, then if everybody has had problem in this area, I guess it's a good subject to cover, eh? Amen and amen. We brought out that stress means a state of being stretched under the conditions of the strain of something, a state in which a strong demand is made on the nervous system, an intensity brought on the mind through a meditation, a preoccupancy of circumstances, and I want you to catch this, with no known cure. A lot of us don't realize that we'd get under the stress of things, and it's automatic, and we don't think about it, but it's automatic that stress does not see a way out. Or stress would not have its strength or its power. And even though we might know the Word of God, we're being Spirit-filled, we've read the Bible, you know, but yet when we get under that unique place of stress in our life, whether it's sudden stress or stress brought on over a period of time, none of us really contemplate the way out. The first thing that we do is we focus in on how we can get ourselves out from under this. And not realizing that the reason we're under that stress is really deep down inside our heart, we don't see a way out. You know, people don't realize that peace is a place you have to go to. You have to choose to go to that realm of peace. And peace is always motivated by a way out. If people don't have a way out of something that they get into, if they don't have a way out, that's where stress begins to put its pressure on you. But when you have peace, it's because you can see a way out. It doesn't mean that you'll never have stress again, but it means you condition yourself to immediately choose to go to peace, no matter where you're at in life. And, you know, we think that stress only comes because of something bad. Sometimes stress can come because of something good. And a lot of us don't realize that. But we brought out that stress has defined itself in the Word of God by cares or worries. cares or worries. And we brought out some of the things that we do when we're under stress, what it usually produces in us. And we brought out those points very clearly last Sunday. Would you like me to go over them real quick like again? I think I'm going to have John Cook type these up for you. Would you like to have John type them up? Okay. What pressure creates in us usually is, number one, emotional outbursts. Sometimes we can lose control over our emotions. And James 1:20 says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Number two, when pressure is under us, if we don't have a forgiving heart, then unforgiveness will begin to rule, and things that have happened to us or presently happen to us stick with us like Velcro. So we take up an attitude of unforgiveness. Number three, we become unteachable, which is the opposite of humility. We become critical, to become oversensitive, easily offended. We lack grace for people. Number five, faithlessness. We lose trust, God or man, which creates uncommitment in us. Number six, we open up to bitterness. This shuts the Spirit of God down to speak to us. We're not able to hear Him under the attitude of pressure and attitude and wrong attitude and pressure. Number seven, we become easily influenceable, especially to those who agree with us or outcome of something. They'll sit in fellowship with us in what we're going through. And this is where I get attacked when I refuse to sit in and try to give people comfort in understanding why they feel the way they do. I don't approach it. I try to be as upbeat and as encouraging as possible. I like to give them scripture. But then they'll turn and accuse me of being insensitive. Well, you just don't understand. Well, what am I to understand when it comes to having pressure? I know what it's like. Everyone's had it. Confusion, never knowing where we belong. Double-mindedness, we never get settled in our thinking. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, those that have no rule over their spirit is like a city without walls. It means no protection. And then number 10, and this is a biggie that happens when you're under stress, you entertain vain imaginations. We imagine what people think about us. We have no communication then with them. We see things totally, the outcome totally of defeating us and destroying us. And we don't know, besides that, we don't know what's going on in a person's heart to entertain vain imaginations. I forgot who said what here this morning, but you know, sometimes we ourselves don't think well of ourselves when we're under stress. And so then we take on this penance attitude, and then we get to reason within ourselves that, well, we deserve this, you know. Well, you know, everybody deserves something. But to get out from under the stress of things and be able to see things more clearly, we don't have to be wallowing in vain imaginations about things. Boy, you turn on TV and you start listening to news media or all them channels, at CNN News and Fox and all, you sit and listen to that very long, and man, they'll put vain imaginations in you big time. You'll create a scenario of a world that Satan doesn't even have to tempt you with. Humanity is doing a fine job on its own. And so we have to do something with our thinking when we're under the stress and cares of the world. And it's certainly not feeding more information into us about where it's going, but start looking to bring us to a place of peace in our life by doing something with ourselves. The number one step to learning how to deal with stress in our life is what brought it on to begin with. Wow, what a revelation. What brought it on to begin with? You have to really understand why you're worrying and why you're under stress. A lot of people don't really know why they're under it. They'll blame everything around them for their problem or their stress, not realizing, well, it's a possibility you might be creating your own and no one else. Have you ever thought of that? I never have. Well, I'm under pressure or stress or the cares of this world. If this hadn't have happened, or this is what I was told would come to pass. I knew that this would, well, what do you mean you knew? You mean you saw it beforehand? Coming out the negative way? Well, then there again, that's vain imaginations. People, did you know that when you were born into the kingdom of God, you were born into the kingdom of God for number one, growth. God wants you to grow up as children. Number two, He wants you to not be confused, but be in peace. And number three, He wants to give you direction for your life. And so every one of us have that given to us. It's a give. We didn't have to work for it, earn it, or deserve it. It was just a give to us. And God knew that we would continue on in life. So why would He leave us a scripture that said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the world you will have tribulation. That's what He said before that. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Did you know what? He was evidently making a statement that things are going to happen in life. But when we turn to Him, He's already overcome it. If we view it from His viewpoint, we'll overcome it. That's why a person that goes to peace and doesn't entertain vain imaginations under pressure, if he goes to God in searching for peace, he's choosing to go there, then he won't entertain those vain imaginations, and God can do something in his heart so that he's not under the stress and cares of this world. You know, one of the promises that God gave you when he came and then he went, he said, I come as peace, and I leave peace with you. Isn't that a good thought? Hallelujah. But you know, I got to think, well, you know, that's nice. In the world, we're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for you have overcome the world. Yeah, I understand, Jesus. You have overcome the world. What's that got to do with be of good cheer, for you've overcome the world? What about me? He says, well, you've joined yourself to me. You've become one with me. And anything that you face, my victory is your victory. Amen. Boy, that gives you rest, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Gives you rest and peace. Now, I want to clarify something before I get down to telling you two things that you have to really focus on if you want to deal with stress properly. First of all, how or why did that come to you to begin with? Well, I can't tell you your exact circumstances. I can't tell you how your specific thing came to you. But I can give you two things that are mentioned in Scripture about worry and cares and stress of this world that the Bible talks about. And it's up to you to determine which one you brought on or didn't bring on. And God has something to say about both. Did you know that there's such a thing as a care that comes worry, stress, a care that comes with the needs of life? You can't believe that went away. It's kind of like when you go out in your yard and you sit there and you're looking at your home and everything's at peace and you see a car drive by. And you see another one drive by. And you see another one drive by. Well, you know what? The needs of this world are like them cars. They'll pass your doorstep. They're there. I guarantee it. You probably woke up this morning affirming it. Because you might be under stress right now because of a need in your life. And so there is a stress that comes with life out of need. But there's also a stress that comes for the purpose of causing someone to fall, which brings up a subject. How do you handle it? Well, it's according to what you can bear. Stress is on the outcome is according to what you can bear. So let's get into scripture real quick. Like, let's look at the needs that come out of life and see what Jesus had to say about it. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at this need that comes because we're born into this world. And let's go to verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Boy, we'd all be giants right now. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Never could understand that verse until recently. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Wherefore, do not worry, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow. Wow. Where is worry usually found? Does anybody got a clue? It starts with an S and it ends with an L. Soul. Worry ends up in the soul of things. Very interesting. Now, if you take a look at this, from verse 25 on, it talks about very clearly the needs that you'll run across in life. And he says these needs should not be put under worry, anxiety, stress. Because your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And so he's telling us in these verses, he is going to provide for you. And if you can't believe that, then you can guarantee that you have a right to sit down and write you out a little card saying, oh, me of little faith. And put it in your pocket and look at it every once in a while when you get to worrying. It's funny I brought that up because I did it. There was something in me. It still gets that way. Doggone it. I have not outgrown that in many areas of my life, but I'm learning. But maybe I ought to get that postcard out again and stick it back in my pocket when I get into real stressful areas that, you know, because you can graduate above cares and stress, but you'll find a new one because it goes higher. And so get that out and take a look at it and say, now, wait a minute, I'm not going to be a little faith in this area and I'm going to let you help me to get out of this thing. Now, when you're under pressure and cares and stress of this world, number one, what brought on the need that you can't believe God for? Well, I thought about that and thought about it, and I asked God one day, well, what about this need that has come my way? And how can I locate myself to get this stress off of me? And he says, if you would read backwards, starting at verse 19 on down to verse 24, that will give you another clue of possibly why the cares and stress and the worries of life have come your way. And so I went to there, and I went to verse 9, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and rust, but lay up yourselves right now. For where your treasure is, I want your heart. He goes, why did you have me read backwards? I was happy to believe that you would take care of the needs of my... But why did you have me read backwards? Now I see another aspect to the cares and stress of this life. Well, what are you talking about? It says here, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Did you know what? You'll have less cares and worry and stress if God is providing you when needs come your way. Providing your needs is not what brought on the stress that you promoted that he wasn't in. Have you ever got these cards in the mail that's saying, borrow more money and pay off credit card debt? And so you get it and you pay off them credit card debts and you feel so great, but you got one big debt. They never just go away. When you borrow, they never go away. And so then you have to work your way out of that. And so these credit cards, they'll come at you in a way that they'll take care of a need. But eventually we seem to forget what you borrow the money from, you got to pay back. And so what am I bringing up here? I'm bringing up a situation here where there's another part that you got to think about where cares and stress come. Did they come because of your action? Or they just come because you have a need that's a legitimate need? Clothing. How many of you know it's nice that God provides clothing for you? Amen? Otherwise, stay home. Now that God can handle. He can provide for you. But if God keeps trying to clothe you and you keep reclothing yourself with something more extravagant, then you'll go beyond your measure. And then once you've gone beyond your measure, there's where we usually cry out to God to help bail us out. Pastor Jen, I enjoyed the music more. Time to go home. And so we find in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, don't worry about the things that come to you out of the needs of life. God guarantees he'll take care of you there. But when you go beyond what's needful for you, then you better make sure God's walking with you in that area. You know what I mean? He's got to have your heart. That's one thing I do about my ministry. I don't get out there where I'm begging God to help bail me out of my own ministry. I work with what you people put in my hands. We do that. And if we can't go beyond that, and I'll just stay where I'm at and encourage you to help me to move on and get a vision to move and expand out. When I do, and you guys put the money there, then I can do that. But if tragedy hits, like we've seen tragedy hit in our economy, churches were going out right and left and hearing the crying and whatever's going on. And how are you doing? Yeah, I'm doing just fine. I'm just worked within the perimeters of what my people put in my hand. And I don't extend them out beyond credit, you know. How many got what I mean? Because I don't want to put cares and stress on my life knowing that I could be my own detriment. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23 is a very interesting passage. It talks about, well, let's go there to Matthew 13, 23. Matthew 13, 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, this is called the parable of the sower. And notice what it says here, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, it's talking about good ground. And notice the good ground receives a seed. And he takes that seed and he produces some 30, some 60. It didn't say he receives the promises of a seed to come, but doesn't have it yet. He's saying he's got it. And what he has, he can produce it. He can bear it. You know, a lot of times the reason we get into the problems and cares and stress of this world is because we do it to ourselves. How did I get where I'm at? Well, if you see a big finger pointing back at you, gives you a clue. So when you read Matthew chapter 23 here, verse 23, it says he works with what he is able to bring forth as fruit. Did you know that when you bear fruit, do you know where other fruit comes from? Has anybody ever thought of that? Where does this other fruit come from when you start bearing fruit? The fruit that you're going to bear in the future comes out of the fruit you presently brought forth. Have you ever thought about that? Isn't that a genius way of thinking? That the reason that you're able to produce more fruit is because the fruit you presently are bringing forth, you are able to take out of that fruit to produce that fruit? Pastor Jan, if you're in a bad mood, go home. If you haven't got the clue yet, I'm telling you, most of the cares and stress in life comes because of we, not him. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, now let's look at the another reason why cares and stress can come. You ready? This is the one we don't like to hear about. The one that comes for the purpose of causing someone to fall. Do you know that this passage really literally states, there has no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God will with the temptation make a way of escape for you. And this word here for temptation definitely marks you as the problem. Why? Because you got to read backwards. I hate this contextual teaching. I like to take the one scripture. God promised me there's no temptation taken. But listen, that verse is predicated on the verses that was before it. Well, what was the verses before it? Well, the verses before it were saying, don't be like that former generation that did not trust God when they were exiting out of the land of Egypt. And they were murmuring and they were complaining. And they fell into sin and started living lavishly and they were destroyed and wiped out in the desert and snakes bit them and because of what? They didn't believe. You know, when God leads you through life, do you know life is going to come at you directly from the devil and not right out of yourself, but from the devil himself. And the only way the devil can take you out in that kind of temptation is to get you to discredit God in your life so he can move in and take you out. That's why he said, if you will take a look at yourself and trust in me and rely upon me and let me speak into your life, you won't be murmuring and complaining and living way beyond your means and everything else and carrying on. And God would be the first and foremost focus in your life. He would speak to your heart and he would see to it that those temptations are going to come your way. But God has settled the need within your heart for Him that the need that is greater than what you have need of, He knows how to satisfy you and cause you to rest and have peace even though you don't have it right now. He will give you rest. And then the very thing that you wanted that you couldn't accept, but you trusted in what God said, will come your way. And when you have it, you have it, not it having you. I just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys. You know, we're dealing with cares and stress and worries of this life. That's why you find here in Matthew 13, verses 18 through 22, and Mark 4, verses 14 through 19, that's why you find these people are going to fall because they're not capable of bearing what they need. And you get into 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he's talking about a verse there that has something to do with directly with you. It's you stopping something, you cutting off, you shutting it down. I find that God usually doesn't bail a person out the third time. But I've seen God bail people out one or two times. And then after that, they're on their own. They have to work themselves right out of that thing. And that goes along with Titus. A man after the first and second admonition, reject. That means correction. Training him, trying your best to train him. And in the Greek it says, therefore, he didn't take heed to the two things, referred to him as a heretic, meaning one who cannot listen to God and be a part of something. There are believers that do that. So, how do we handle the cares and stresses of life? One way. Real simple. You guys want it real simple? Because of time, step number one, you do something with your mind. You have to stabilize your mind. Whether you're the problem or the problem's the problem, you have to stabilize your thinking. How do you stabilize your thinking? This will really help you. Are you the problem or is the need the problem? And you can have a need that can be a problem. But God will meet that need. So if you're not the problem, and it is a pure need, then you can trust God to meet that need, and don't be of little faith. And how do you do that? Start controlling how you think. And I'm going to tell you something. If you make a decision that you want to control how you think, something to do with your mind, God don't care what you did in the past. God is presently ready to work for you where you're starting to do something with yourself. Now you've got God's attention. Yeah, but now God, you know what I did in the past? God says, I'm not interested in what you did in the past. I'm interested in the decision you made right now, and it's a good one. Stick with that. Yeah, but you have no, I have all the idea in the world why you got where you're at. Okay? Now that you really screwed everything up, stop and listen to me a second. You're starting fresh. Yeah. How many of you know what fresh is? Yeah, fresh. Start fresh. Do you need the Greek for that? Well, God's willing to, right where you're at, start fresh. Right where you're at, start fresh. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience, possess the soul. How many can agree to that? Take control of your soul. God cannot do anything with you under condemnation. God can only meet your need out of faith. So, number one, get a hold of your mind. Number two, start meditating on the right things. That really helps you get control of your mind. Stop meditating on the wrong things. Start meditating on the right things. Satan's number one goal is to try and destroy your confidence, especially in what you do know of the gospel. Keep your mind. If your mind is stayed on He, He will be shalom to you. That's what the Hebrew says. He whose mind is stayed on thee is in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. I'm going to tell you, I know what life's about. I lived here with you guys. And I know what it's about. And I found that most of my problems did not come from somebody else. They came from my inability to follow God. Especially when I begin to prosper. Oh, what an outlaw. When you prosper, you have need of everything. The problem is none of us realize that prosperity is just kind of like money. The uncertainty of wealth. So, Pastor Butler, what were you trying to tell us this morning? We're the culprits? Yeah, basically, yeah. They just come from two different directions. One is one you create and the other one's out of need. You just have to know which one you didn't create. Well, thank you very much for the hand clap. Thank you. Stand up, everybody. We got to quit. Oh, communion. Sit down, everybody. This is a good time to take communion. It really is. Because you got to determine which one of you brought on the stress.
Wasn't the devil?
Yeah. Oh. What about you? Mm-mm. Oh, it wasn't you. Mm-mm. What was it? Need. Oh, it was a need, huh? And you're going to exempt you? You need to take communion. Come on, ushers, come forward. We'll do communion. Amen. You guys up to doing communion? Sometimes you'll prepare a message before a service. Maybe I shouldn't let this out. But a lot of times, I'm not really settled in the message. Even though I prayed about it and I put it all together real good, proud of it and everything. A lot of times I like to see how the Spirit moves before a service. And sometimes the move of the Holy Ghost will confirm what I'm about ready to preach. And then I go, whew. Today wasn't like that. Today, the move of God and what was said from the Spirit of God left me kind of up in the air. It was like everybody was having a great time, and I'm going to get up and deliver this kind of message. I said, I didn't get no confirmation of my message. It was it wrong? But after I got into it and got to preaching, it was all right. Praise God. So it fitted it in there. First of all, God exalted you. Smooched you and everything. I came along and gave you a boot. To boot. Well, we know what the communion element is about. It's about the reason that these elements were given. The types that it was represented. The bread. I know that the translators put in there it was broken. But the reason they put it in there is because they tore off of one loaf. But really in Greek, when you partake of the bread, it signifies the universal body of Christ and you being a member of the body of Christ in the earth. And that everything that God's word centers around, it centers around remaining intact, undivided, not broken off in the sense of being broken from the body. And so communion brings us back in remembrance that his body was not commanded, not even a bone was not to be broken when he was on the cross because his body signified the body of Christ. See, one thing God hates is discord among the brethren. He hates anything that would divide the body of Christ. Now, God loves denominational people, but he hates denominations. because they were all created out of a tearing away. A differences of opinions. We're supposed to accept each other in spite of us believing differently. The body of Christ is to remain intact. And if this message had anything to your heart, then your keeping, your stewardship, your well-being is very important for the body of Christ. Because then you can do your part for those whom you live with in your spiritual house. And so today when we take this bread, that's what it's going to signify. And then, of course, the blood signifies the life that was given for us to do the bread. That life was poured into us. His life that was shed, that blood that was shed, that blood is now our life. And that's what gives that cleansing power, that life, to the body of Christ or the bread. So this morning, if you hadn't been the good steward that you should, and you've entertained in cares and strife, and you've come to the conclusion that you're the problem, that you need to do things differently under the leading of the Spirit, or if you can't even trust Him with the need that you entertain little faith, let's get Him under the bread and blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So that we can remain a vital part of the body of Christ. And so on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and He said, "Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me," for the purpose of it, to keep us all together and intact, even in our stewardship. Let's take it. Then after the same manner, He took the cup. He said, "This is the ability of that life to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It is the answer for the body of Christ, this drink." Well, how many of you received? Stand up, everybody. Oh, hand in your cups into the center of the aisles. I'm trying to get you out of here. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people. Father, I declare that if there's even a stress or worry that people are concerned about, Father, I believe it was put under the blood, the bread and the blood of Christ, in remembrance of Him. So as Your people go their way today, Father, may they have great victory and glory in their walk with You. And if there's anybody here this morning that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I want you to feel free to step out and come forward right now. Anybody that wants to receive Jesus, feel free to step out and come forward right now. Anyone. Hallelujah. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, as we release Your wonderful people, we release them to the care of the Holy Spirit to watch over them, to care for them today. May they have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.